have Brother Matthew back. And Lord bless you, Brother Matthew, as you come and preach for us tonight. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's an honor to be here, and it's good to be back home. And if you could go with me to Psalm 62. Is this working okay, Luke? Oh, good? Good. Well, it doesn't look like Andrew's back yet, but the songs he picked were a very great blessing to me as we were singing them. And it's even in preparation of this, and one thing that kind of hit me out, well, on 296, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, it says, on the third verse, on that second line, it says, perfect rest to me is promised, and it's talking about heaven. But as I was thinking about that, you know, we can have perfect rest down here just as much, because we can have His presence just as, and it's not going to be like in the sense of the physical presence as we will have in heaven someday. But His presence can be just as real nonetheless right now, and we can live there. And then take time to be holy. Well, that was, I don't think I've ever allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to me so much as I did this last time as we just were singing Take Time to Be Holy. And well, I guess maybe it was because this message was on my heart and how so much of what the Lord just has in this message is so connected with that song. So I hope that was a blessing to you as it was to me as we even prepare and think about this message. And I don't know, maybe Andrew said that the message was entitled Waiting on God. But in Psalm 62 and verse 5, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. And Lord, as I think about this passage and, Lord, just even the burden of waiting on God and that you've put on my heart and what that is to each one of us, Holy Spirit, without your enabling, without your filling, without your direction, your word is not going to be spoken. Your will is not going to be accomplished in this time. And so I do this. Rest and put my dependence on you now, Lord, that you would deliver and enable each one of us to hear from you tonight. Lord, we do want to meet with you. We do want to know you. And we do want to have your filling of your spirit in this time and as we go on with our even with our lives. But we do reckon that it doesn't just happen. So Lord, I do thank you so much for this time. Lord, just teach us from your word. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to study and to hear from you. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And in 1 Samuel, in chapter 17, we see that David is anointed to be king. But soon after that, okay, we see that he kills Goliath, and then he's ushered later on into Saul's presence. And Saul's kind of happy at first, but then he's not happy anymore, because when, as they're going into Jerusalem after that defeat of Goliath, Saul hears, oh yeah, Saul has killed his thousands and David's only killed his 10,000, but David has killed his 10,000s, and he's not so happy after that. And so, like, all throughout this, it's like, here, David's going forward and the Lord's blessing, and then this problem arises. And now Saul is after his life. And it's up until into the start of 2 Samuel, which is 13 years, 14 years, and then about upwards to 20 years, it could be. It's not specific in the Bible. It could have been upwards to 20 years before he actually was king of Israel, not just of Judah. And so thinking of all that time that David waited, and he was waiting on God. He was learning what it was to wait on God. And that's something that we need to learn. But there's some prerequisites to waiting on God, if you could call them that. And first, it's our attention. Without our attention towards God, we can't wait on Him. Now, when you go to a sit-down restaurant, there's always someone that comes up to you and bugs you for the rest of the night, right? Well, not exactly. That's not exactly their job. They're not really there to bug you. They're actually there to wait on you, to attend to you. And that's a lot of times, maybe you could say they're called waiters. But sometimes restaurants can be noisy, and there can be a lot of distractions going on. And the waiter, unless they are listening to you, well, you don't want to yell either. It's not like you want to lift up your voice and yell at them. And unless they're giving you their attention and looking at you, and they're not going to hear what you want to tell them. And so they're going to miss it every single time. And the same thing with us if God does not have our full attention. Now here, so in verse 5 it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Without God being the only focus of our waiting, we will fail every time. Now when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, he told the Israelites, "How long will ye halt between two opinions?" He was like, either choose God or choose Baal. Stop going in between. And so the same thing with us. If we do not set aside the things that are distracting us from God's, from hearing what God wants, we're distracted from having God's attention, then we're not going to see the results, the rewards of waiting on God. So not only, though, does it require our attention as a prerequisite, but it requires our time. It's kind of like, okay, it's kind of the same idea. But back to the maybe you think silly illustration of the waiter. When the waiters give up their time to make sure that you are pleased with your stay, and the more, well, as they spend more time with you, and the more they come back to you as you're sitting down there, the more you'll feel appreciated by them. You'll want to go back because you appreciate the waiters coming to you and spending time with you, making sure you have everything you need. But what if they didn't do that? What if every single time, okay, they gave you attention for half a second, and they're like, "Oh, I need to go help someone so-and-so," just as about you were to say what you needed or whatever, and they just ran off and started helping somebody else. You're like, "These waiters don't even care about me. Well, I'm not going to come here again," because it's like they think all the other customers are somehow more important than me. About the time I say something, they leave. And we wouldn't really want to go back. Now, I want us to think about for a second, what if God came to our dine-in restaurant? Here, he sat down, and we're his waiter, and we come up, and Do we give God our attention? Do we give Him our time? Or are we too hurried and rushed and hushed about the whole day and the things of life that we forget to give God our attention? And we forget to give God our time to hear what He wants to tell us. So as we wait on God, that prerequisite is we're not really waiting until we have that, we're giving that attention, we're giving the time so that we can actually now hear Him. And so there's specific requirements. First, really, waiting persistently. And Psalm 25, verse 4, it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Now, those two verses are so cram-packed. And verse 4 is even kind of talking about what happens when we wait on God. But he says, and I believe this is the Psalm David, it says, "On thee do I wait all the day." It wasn't something here, there, in the morning, at night, but it was something that was persistent. Every single waking hour, he was going to wait on God. Now, I know most of you have probably been to Margo's. Maybe not everybody's been there, but that's okay. But I'm just going to tell you a story about Margo's. When I was in there once, a while back, I think it was with my dad, maybe a couple others, and an elderly gentleman came in, he sat down, and the waiter just said, as she was walking by, "Your usual?" And he's like, "Yep." And she just kept walking by. A few seconds later, she came back with coffee and everything that he wanted, and he never said anything about food, but the order had already been sent to the back, and no time at all, she came out with the food. I was like, okay, so there was a waiter who had waited on someone and knew what he wanted and didn't have to ask, just making sure that he wanted what he normally wanted, and that's what she went and got him. And the same thing for each one of us. See, God wants us to come to the point where we know God, because we wait on God all the time. So we don't have to worry about what does God want in the sense of getting, in a sense, a new thing or whatever. Because if we wait on God and we know God's ways and we're in His Word, when we continuously keep waiting on God, it's not about what am I supposed to do. Like, we don't really have to ask that. He's going to already lead us. We already know. And if we're in His presence and we're waiting on Him, the second we're in His presence, the second we start waiting on Him, we already know what to do, because He's going to lead us. It's not going to, in a sense, take time. Because when we're out and about, whether it's out sowing or out shopping or in a situation at home or whatever it might be, if we're in that waiting on God, I want to hear His voice, I want Him to speak to me, then the thought of God is what's going to come out in the way we deal with things. So if a situation comes up, if a kid starts acting up, or if a sibling starts acting up, or if there's an opportunity to give the gospel, it's not going to be about, wait, what should I do in this situation, God? No, it's be like, I'm in God's presence, and I know what He wants me to do, because I've been in His presence before. I've been in this situation before, and we can respond with the right attitude, with the right result, with whatever, because we've learned to know what God wants, because we've spent time with Him already. In Hosea 12 and verse 6, it says, "Wherefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually." We will not have the continuous, perpetual presence of God unless we've been waiting on Him. And so we have that perpetualness that we need to have, that continually waiting on God, but also patiently. Psalm 37, not too far. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the wicked man, the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." As David was running from Saul, he had to learn to wait on God all day. But when the end of the day came and he woke up the next morning, he realized it wasn't just all day, but it was that patiently every single day. And when we think about David with that, when he was anointed to be king, he wasn't automatically granted the right to go kill the present king and so that he could become king. He had to wait until it was his time. And that was a long time, as we had already seen. But he waited on God to bring that time to him. And for us, as we apply that, for all of us children, we need to learn to be patient. You know, and I know this is like, okay, wait, this is not the same thing as waiting on God, learning to be patient. But when we realize what it is to wait in this human thing, we start to understand, just like I have to wait, children, as we have to wait for mommy to make food, or we have to wait for daddy to come home, there's time involved. And the same thing with God. As we wait on God, as we allow Him to have our time, then we begin to learn and know what it is to be with Him. And I know, yes, when we're waiting for daddy or waiting for mommy to bring the food, we don't have the food throughout the time. That's not the way it is with God, but it's we learn from God and we learn of God and we know what it is to be in His presence as we are waiting, as that time passes by. And for us teens, I know, or I guess I say us, I'm not a teen anymore, but young people, A lot of times we're, now maybe it's not as much of an issue we would say here as it might be in other places, but at the same time that's not really true, because we have our own issues. Sometimes we still want to get a phone someday and so we can communicate it with everybody under the sun. Or maybe it's some relationship or whatever, and I know it's like, oh, well, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a girlfriend, or a lot of those terms that we don't really use. But just because we're not always on the outside of that, on the outward side showing that, a lot of times there's still those struggles on the inside. And the thing is that that's not God's will either. And it doesn't even have to be with, oh, a girl waiting for a guy or a guy waiting for a girl, but a girl waiting for another girl or a guy waiting for another guy, wanting a relationship with him or her, whatever it might be. It's like, I want to have a relationship with that person. I like that person. And why don't they like me? And oftentimes it can be worse. Girls and girls, guys and guys, with the peer pressure and with, I want to be that person's friend because I think they're cool and whatever. Or cousins, they can find themselves. I was a cousin once. Well, I'm still a cousin, but I mean, like, I was younger and remember thinking this, but it's like we can think, oh, the cousin has better things than me and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we all have those waiting for that right timing to have the one thing that we think our cousin, our sibling, our friend, or whatever it might be. And we need to learn to just wait on God. And even as adults, as we think, it can be about waiting on this car that has a problem, or waiting for the right home to come along, or the right house, or there's a relationship that needs to be fixed, or whatever it might be. We need to learn to wait patiently and be patient with other people and be patient with God's working and God's moving and His timing. Because the thing is a lot of times we get too excited and we start trying to run into things and we start touching things. And it's like when somebody comes in and a painter just finished his masterpiece and they think, that's so cool. Wait, it's now ruined. Oh, bummer. Or like the person, we've been where places where they're making clay pottery and stuff. And we're thinking, that is so amazing pottery. We pick it up and it just starts. Now there's fingerprints on it, and now it's getting wrecked because it wasn't cut. Oh, well, now we have another problem. And that's what happens every single time we try to rush ahead of what God wants for us, rush ahead of God's timing, when we don't wait patiently for Him. Lamentations 3:26, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. His perfect timing. So waiting perpetually, waiting patiently, but also waiting in difficulty. Psalm 69 in verse 3, it says, I am weary of my trying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. It was not always easy for David to wait through all of those years, all of the trials that he had to go through. And even thinking of Joseph, waiting years upon years before he finally was able to be, now he was in the position where he had had those dreams. He had had the dreams of being the ruler. He had the dreams of being over people. But after many waiting, and it was difficult, but in that difficulty, he learned what it was, both David and Joseph, and many others learned how to just wait on God, knowing, just having His presence in those times. But so we realize, okay, the prerequisites. We have to give the attention. We have to give the time. Okay, the requirements, as we're waiting on God, we have to make sure we're doing it persistently, continuously, making sure we're doing it patiently. And sometimes it might be difficult, but continuing to wait and look to God. And then we see the rewards of waiting on God. And really the thing about waiting on God is really we're going for God. We're going for Jesus. We want His presence. We want the Holy Spirit's filling. And honestly, some of these points, you could almost put, the Bible uses many different ways of speaking about the same thing. And it's all really about Jesus. It's about having the life of Jesus that now we can live it. But the blessings, the rewards of waiting on God, having God's presence, being with Him. So first, to not be ashamed. So let's go to Psalm 25. Back to Psalm 25. And it says right here, Psalm 25, verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now, I know most of you probably already know that we had a blue Pontiac that died about 11 weeks ago, to be exact, probably, since I've been gone for 10 weeks, and it happened the week before. And so that thing died, and we started praying because it's like, okay, well, if I don't have another car, then I don't really have a car to take down to Martinsville, and that's going to make harder for them because I ended up being 15 minutes away from the church, so I had to drive each day, which was fine, but it wouldn't have been fine if I didn't have a car. And so, okay, through that time, just those few weeks, those few days of praying, looking to God, waiting on Him, okay, persistently, patiently, in the difficult situation that it was, and then seeing God deliver on Monday when we went to work, we checked out a car at lunch, we went after work, we went to another car, still no good, and then Dad looked one more time as we were on our way home, and we saw the silver car, and we were to go get that, okay? And the blessings of waiting on God, letting Him lead to the perfect car at the right time. And then he didn't let us be ashamed. He didn't let us come to the point where we say, God didn't come through for me. I don't have a car to go down there. Now, if it really had not been God's will, well, then we wouldn't have had a car. But it was God's will, and He wasn't going to let us come to the point of being ashamed because we had waited on Him, and He's going to come through for those that wait on Him. And so the blessings of seeing God come through. And Psalm 104:27 says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And when we think of all of the animals, they don't really worry about it. They just expect, in a sense, in their way, for their Creator to provide their meat. Just as it says the lilies are more adorned than Solomon was. And the same thing with us. If we really have that simple trust in the Lord, just waiting on Him, knowing that He's going to provide, He does. And when we just boldly and unashamedly come before Him, expecting Him to do what He promised to do, He's not going to let us be ashamed. In Psalm 37 and 25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So waiting to not be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed when we wait on God because He will come through. But not only that, but the reward of being strengthened. And we can, this is all over the Bible, but in Psalm 27, right there, probably across your page, Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we all probably have, well, a lot of us probably have Isaiah 40:31 memorized. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And a lot of times I know we can maybe think spiritually, but it really encompasses everything where we could be weak. Whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever it might be, God can strengthen us in that area. And let's think of David at Ziklag. When he got back to Ziklag, he was overwhelmed with the fact that he just lost everything. And now everybody was saying they were going to kill him. But what do we see him do? Well, he first gave his attention and gave his time to God. And then as he did that, he was continuously doing it, otherwise he wouldn't have went to God. He wouldn't have thought of God in that moment had he not experienced and learned what it was to wait continuously on God. Here he patiently waited on God. He wasn't going to just start running and start going. He waited. And then he waited in that difficult situation, also just waiting on God in that difficult situation. Here we're seeing what he did. And then the Lord led. He wasn't ashamed. He was strengthened in that moment to go do what God had called him to do. And then he received God's goodness, which is the next point. But before I get there, I want to even more in a sense apply it to us. You know, a lot of times we can look physically speaking, we can look to coffee or energy drinks or healthy eating, which none of those things are bad. Okay? No, coffee's not bad. Okay? So none of those things are bad, but those are the wrong dependence instead of wanting Jesus. Or even thinking emotionally, we can want to feel better. It's like, no, I'm going to go read a book. I'm going to go listen to some good music or something like that. None of those things are bad. But the thing is that's not where we're supposed to go. Because if Jesus can't do that for us, then those other things are now our way to cope with life. And therefore, it's not really of God. It's really sin because it's putting those things before God. It's putting those things before Jesus. And even the spirit and the spiritual thing. You know, if we listen to sermons, we listen to hymns being sung, or we go read a spiritual book, we can really feel spiritually encouraged. And that is a very real thing. But the thing is, sometimes we go and do that because we don't feel very spiritual because of something that went wrong. And we go do that instead of saying, okay, Jesus, what's the problem? I need you to fix it. And when you're right with, when you get that relationship fixed with Jesus, then you can actually go to those other things and be more blessed and get direction instead of now being feeling spiritually content. And then you leave, the second you leave, you're actually back where you were, and you can't really minister to people because you're really only getting that good feeling spiritually, but you can't really spiritually encourage or impact anybody because that was only to minister to your heart. Whereas, had you let Jesus fix the problem, you went to that, now you heard from that, and now it gives you a message to go share with somebody else. So we need to wait on Jesus. We need to wait on God to be strengthened. And then that third point, to receive God's goodness. The reward to receive God's goodness. In Lamentation 3:25, I already referenced 26, but in Lamentation 3, in verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." God wants to bless us, but so often we miss it because we do not ask or we do not seek His blessing because we have not waited on Him to know what that blessing is. And now, okay, so if we can go back to Psalm 132, go back to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 132, it says, no, sorry, Psalm 23, verse 2. Sorry, my eyes are squiggling everything up on this page. But Psalm 123, verse 2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." And if we can also go to Psalm 50. So here these people are looking to the God, they're waiting on God for His mercy, for His goodness to be outpoured in their lives. And in Psalm 50, and if we can look at verse 10, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof." And he goes on and is just declaring, okay, the goodness and the greatness of God. And so often, as we're asking and looking to the Lord for things, we're not waiting truly as we should on Him for His goodness. Because we go to God and thinking that He is the friend that lives under the bridge, and He can't really help us because He's living under the bridge. He lives in a cardboard box and He can only sympathize with us. And most of those guys do because it's like, oh, I'm sorry for you. I mean, look at me. And that's how we treat God a lot of times. We act like He can sympathize with us really great, but He really can't do anything. And yet right here He says, "I would never ask of you anything because you have nothing compared to what I have." Like when you have nothing, I still have everything and I can give you everything you need. But the problem, most often, well, in any time, we're not receiving what we're receiving the blessings, receiving His goodness. It's always because we're not waiting on Him. And I know that terminology can be used on a, maybe, I mean, we can use other terminology for that. Looking at Him, depending on Him, having His presence, being filled with the Spirit. It's all the same thing, but it's waiting on God. It's looking to Him, that constant, really even Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trusting Him at all times, leaning out on our understanding, and all our ways acknowledging Him, and then guess what? He will direct our paths. That God's goodness, and it comes from waiting on God. In Lamentations 3:26, I already mentioned this once, but it says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And it said, "It is good." The goodness that comes from waiting on God. And God's goodness has been revealed through His offering of salvation from sin and hell. And He made that possible through and only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not by our good works, our baptism, our giving to the church, going to church, being a church member, or any of the things of that. We all know that. And it's like it says, wait for the salvation of the Lord. So it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And so there is that salvation of sin. But that's not really the main emphasis of this verse. This verse is really talking about the salvation, the deliverance from worry, anxiety, anger, frustration, bitterness, fear, all of those things. That's really what it's talking about. It's talking about being delivered from our physical failures, our physical failing, our flesh failing, and it's being delivered to be able to walk with Him, to wait on Him, to have His goodness. So waiting on God, it's going to take that sacrifice of our attention, our time. And as we're giving God our attention, giving God our time, we have to keep doing it. We have to persistently, continually do it. And sometimes we're going to have to wait a while to really have, or maybe even understand that fullness of how He wants to lead. It's not that He's not going to be there. It's not that we're not going to know that He's there. But we might not be receiving that the goodness that we're talking about. We might not receive that strength automatically as we continuously wait on Him. Because as we think about it, when we look in Scripture, people waited continuously. People waited patiently. People were depending on God through years. And yet, it wasn't like automatic. But see, God gave them that strength to wait until the complete fullness of that goodness that they were waiting for arrived. So learning, okay, patiently, in trial, even if that comes to be, and then receiving that rewards of not being ashamed, always looking to that, He's not going to let me be ashamed every step of the way. Every step of the way to get that final whatever, or even thinking about salvation, getting to heaven. He's not going to let us be ashamed at every point along the way of our physical lives. Not be strengthening us. He's going to deliver us every time, whether it's from sin or from a trial or even from persecution. And if God takes us at that time, in a sense, that's okay. He's delivering us from this bondage of life. Okay, but at every point, He's never going to let us be ashamed. He's never going to not be there to give us the strength that we need for that situation. Give us the grace that we need. I mean, even Paul mentions that God's grace was sufficient for him. And that's always true. And then for God's goodness, the rewards of having God's goodness in our lives as we wait on Him. And just, okay, with that, to make it applicable right now here, okay, what steps are we going to take to make sure that we're actually doing that, we're giving God our time and attention, and we're, in a sense, thinking life. This is something that we need to do for life. This is something that David learned all of his life, that he was going to wait on God. And we think, oh, if only I could be like David and be a man after God's own heart. We can. And David did, because he learned what it was to wait on God, to always go to Him and look to Him for everything. Thinking of Adam waiting for Eve. Now imagine if Adam had not waited for Eve, but decided to go with one of the animals. Like, okay, how ridiculous is that? Why would he wait? Okay, but the same thing with us. this, let's wait for God to bring the perfect thing along in our lives and let him show us and make that it is the right thing, that is the perfect thing. And we can think of Abraham waiting for the promised son, Isaac waiting 20 years for his sons, Joseph waiting for fulfillment of his dreams, Moses waiting 40 years before being able to deliver the Israelites, Joshua and Caleb waiting 40 years before they entered in the promised land. And then we think of David, as we already mentioned, waiting on God. And no matter what it was. And so what are we doing? And like, I know one thing we can make really applicable is how much praying and reading God's word. But it goes so much beyond that. Because so often we can stop praying and we can stop reading our Bibles, and that's where the end of it happens. And that what reading your Bible and praying is not waiting on God, unless you let it be waiting on God. Realizing that this is God, I am seeking you, I'm waiting on you because I have to have you, I have to have what you want for me right now. I don't want to go on without that direction. I don't want to go on without knowing what you want me to do. And we don't have to live without knowing what God wants us to do. We only live there because we choose to live there. And no, God's not going to maybe speak audibly to you. And maybe you're like, should I go here or should I go? Okay, well, should I go to Walmart or should I go to Meijer to buy this? That's not, okay, we can wait on God and maybe He will let us know. But that's not really what I'm talking about. It's more of, okay, what is the Spirit leading? How is He already working? He's always going to give us the direction we need, whether it's from what the Bible already says, or giving just even that new direction, giving that peace, that confidence to just take that step of faith that He wants us to take. So really, as we think, application, what are we doing? And how are we, throughout the day, making sure that we're giving God, our time and our attention and our time, and then just seeing those other things, those requirements, letting and then expecting that goodness, expecting those blessings. And if we feel like we want God's presence, if we feel like we're missing out, then maybe it's time to take time and make sure that we are waiting on God like we should. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this even again speaking to me about what it is to wait on you and taking time to do that throughout the day, every day, continuously and looking to you. And Lord, no matter what trials or problems arise or what distractions come, Father, I pray that we would make sure that we are waiting on you like we should, so that we can hear from you and allow you to guide us. Lord, I thank you that you offer your presence freely and willingly. But until we give you that attention and time and let you speak to us, we're not going to be able to hear from you. So, Father, help us now. And I just thank you that you are always patient with us, waiting for us, no matter how long we wait to come to you. You're always still there, ready to tell us and guide us. So I thank you. I just want to praise you for that. And I just pray, Father, as we leave, that we would make application and make specific changes in our lives, so that we learn and we take those steps, so that we are waiting on you, that we can even be like David, a man or a woman after your own heart. So now, Father, bless, direct us, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. Let's turn to 337. Teach me thy way, O Lord. 337. The invitation open tonight as God leads, and shall we stand as we sing 337. Thank you. Corey, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?